Mary sings a song of joy. In the bleak midwinter, we festoon the meeting house with gay poinsettias. We light a candle of joy. We stand to raise our voices together, singing, "Rejoice, O pure in heart." So actually, no. I, for one, am not buying in. Not me. I am sitting this one out. Maybe it's because as I sat down on Tuesday about noon to start work on this sermon, as I prepared to look at our text for today, as I started to think about how to convey to you the joy which everyone tells me lies at the heart of this ancient story, I was hit as if by a sledgehammer by my first cold of the season. You know the kind. One minute you're absolutely fine, the next your nose will not stop running, you can't stop sneezing, and to make it worse, because your ribs were all but cracked when they did CPR on you, every sneeze brings with it a sharp pain. So this pastoral Casey at the bat had struck out, and there was no joy in Mudville on Tuesday. Or maybe it's because this particular Sunday in the church year always brings with it painful memories to me. Memories of a chapel service at seminary right before we were all released before the Christmas holiday, when some nattering, newly minted professor was going on and on. And to be fair, I think he was a Unitarian. He was going on and on about how we should all be happy. And worse, I didn't think Unitarians did guilt, but basically he was heaping guilt on us for not being sufficiently happy. And I'm sitting there in one of the pews looking across the way at another professor who was getting ready to hop on a plane to visit her parents, each of whom was in hospice, knowing that this was going to be their last Christmas together. And she's looking across the chapel right at me, knowing that my wife was in a terrible struggle with metastatic breast cancer, and this would likely be our last Christmas together. Our eyes met, and the same thought flew across the chapel between us. Be happy. What a pile of crap. Or maybe it's because of that health incident I had 6 weeks ago. They say a common side effect for survivors of a heart attack is depression. The warnings that come with one of the new meds that I'm on says that a common side effect of these pills is, you got it, depression. So maybe the combo of the two is all the excuse I need for not buying into joy this season. So then I'm feeling like a bit of a fraud, knowing that you don't pay your pastor to be a Debbie Downer. And if you want to despair, you can just stay home on Sunday morning. And you can turn on that television. And you can watch the political shenanigans down in Washington that pass for government these days. Or even worse, you can tune into one of those televangelist charlatans who pass for a Christian and tell you that Jesus wants to make you rich. And yes, you can send along a contribution to help them buy their mansions and their luxury cars, so at least that way someone will be rich. Except it may be that there are one or two folk here today who wonder about that buying into joy thing as well. I'm thinking of the congregant who lost who lost a spouse these past few months, and then a mother and father as well. I'm thinking of the parishioner who was put on a new med and lost over 20 pounds in a couple of months, pounds he could not afford to lose. I'm thinking of the pew sitter whose daughter struggles with advancing ALS. It always advances, doesn't it? At the same time as her son-in-law fights cancer. I'm thinking of the single mom struggling to make ends meet without the help of her deadbeat former spouse. I'm thinking of the parents of children on the spectrum who struggle daily with the school system, with the medical system, with figuring out how to pay for all the treatments, all while on a constant sleep deficit. I'm thinking about those folks who have serious problems I don't even know about. So then I'm thinking, well, who actually is the fraud here? The one who knows that joy can be difficult? Or the one who offers the easy but empty consolations of empty, cheap grace? A message that it's the holiday season, so just flip the switch, like you do with those holiday decorations. Flip the switch and be happy. So the question is it really possible to be joyful in the midst of the shadows of sorrow? Henry Nouwen puts it this way: while happiness usually depends on circumstances, joy runs deeper. Joy, he writes, is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death, nothing can take that love away. Thus, joy and sorrow can coexist. Joy can even be found in the midst of sorrowful circumstances. And so Mary can sing her Magnificat, not because she is happy, because she is with child, even with all those strange circumstances about how she got that way, but also because she anticipates a greater joy that will come. Mary sings of the mighty reversals that have not yet come, but will come because of the advent of the coming of Jesus. A time when powerful oppressors will have been brought down from their thrones, and the lowly will have been lifted up, when the hungry are filled, when justice will be the rule, not the exception. It's the gospel in a nutshell. In a nutshell, it's the paradox of already and not yet. The kingdom of God is breaking in all around. We have tastes of it. We can see it. We can feel it. But it is not yet here in all its fullness. So too we who live amid the shadows and in a metaphorical bleak midwinter, we can be joyful even as happiness eludes us. So no, Tammy is not happy these days, or so she told me in her prayer request that she sent to me while I was at coffee hours Tuesday in Hyannis at Starbucks. Her brother has late stage cancer. It is incurable. And he is facing surgery in a few days, hoping to have a huge abdominal tumor removed. He's afraid he won't make it till Christmas. At his bedside are his wife and his teenage daughter. Happiness is just not an option. And yet Tammy rejoices that these struggles do not have to conquer her, because of their faith that there is yet more to come. As she wrote to me, it is the promise of new life that makes the struggles bearable. Perhaps this is what made the struggles for him bearable. No, actually more than bearable. A standout baseball player at Boston College, he once hit a grand slam, a three-run homer, and a double in a single game. In 2011, he was hit by a pitch, and the wound would not heal. And after all the tests were finally done, he was diagnosed with ALS, a non-curable disease that typically leads to death within 2 to 5 years. A year later, he and Julia married. A year after that, they had a daughter. And while he did not start the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, he popularized it and raised over $100 million for ALS research. Peter Frates died this week. Remarkably, Pete never complained about his illness, his family said in their statement after his death. Instead, he saw it as an opportunity to give hope to other patients and their families. In his lifetime, he was determined to change the trajectory of a disease that had no treatment or cure. So to return where I began, actually no, I'm not going to sit this one out, and I'm not going to refuse to buy into today's joyous celebrations. I'm going to choose to say yes to joy. And no, it's not just that compared to Tammy and her brother, or Peter Frates and his family, and to many of you, my troubles really are quite insignificant. It is because, as Mary's song reminds me, as Tammy's hope assures me, as Peter Frates' determination inspires me, God's love has won, is winning, and will win. For them, for you, for me. So let heaven and nature sing, and let us all join in as well. Let's stand and sing together, Joy to the World.